My name is JC Ziegler. I am 16 years old, and today's date is the 23rd of November. And I'm speaking with my grandmother, Joanne Sackett. We are recording this interview in Richmond, Virginia. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
My childhood, I lived in the country. Everything was very simple. Had lots of country friends to play with, and we didn't have much, but I never knew that we needed anything but what we had. What was I like as a child? I was probably quiet. I didn't read much because we didn't have a lot of books back then. There wasn't a library to go to get books. We'd have to get on a bus and go into Wilmington. So mostly it was just playing outside, and we made a lot of playing. There were two sisters, and we all had dolls, and we played and made families and everything else, but it was pretty simple.
Can you tell me about your grandparents or your great-grandparents?
My grandparents on my dad's side I knew well. My grandfather worked for DuPont. He was an accountant. My grandmother didn't work because her last born son was either injured during pregnancy or injured during birth. We just still don't know why. So he remained an invalid his whole entire life, which was almost 40 years. And they pretty much stayed home and took care of him, and that's all they did. My other grandparents, my mother's father was a very sweet man. He had had asthma since he was young, so he couldn't do a whole lot of work, but they lived down in Chesapeake near the river, and so he did a lot of fishing, and he was just a sweetheart. And my grandmother on my mother's side died when she was 52 of kidney failure, so I didn't know her at all.
Can you tell me like your favorite memory from either of your grandparents?
My mom's dad, Pop-Pop, one of my favorite things was we'd go down to, he lived with my aunt down in Chesapeake City, and we'd go down to see him, and he smoked tobacco in a pipe that was supposed to help his asthma, which was interesting. But to this day, I can walk in a tobacco store, and if I smell that particular brand, I know it's him. And my favorite thing was he had no money. He really didn't. But every time we went, he snuck us each a nickel. And it was precious because he had nothing.
Can you tell me about one or two people who have been the biggest influences on your life?
The biggest influences in my life. Probably my second husband, Gary, who took me out of my shell and reinforced that I was able to make decisions on my own. He helped me talked about it, but he didn't make the decision for me. He helped me make them my own. And he was just very outgoing, loved people. People loved him. And it was just a joy to be around him.
Can you tell me one of your happiest memories?
Yeah. When I was little and my dad had built our home, up in the bedroom where all three of us girls slept because my brother hadn't been born yet, we all slept in the same bedroom. There was, what is it called, where they have a pushed out, a gable window. He put gable windows on the house. And on each side of the gable window, there was a little closet. And that's where we would take our dolls and we would play. All three of us would sit there and play for hours with our dolls. It was a great little cubby for kids.
So can you tell me about your parents?
My dad was a hardworking man who had been, he felt kind of neglected by his parents because when he got ready to go to college, they said that they couldn't afford it, but they had already put his brother through college. And I think that they just didn't feel like he was settled down, because he was a little bit of a hellion. Hadn't settled down enough to go to school. But after he married Mom, he put himself through school at night. He worked all day and went to night school, and that's how he got his accounting degree. My mom was just a sweetheart. She was just loving and sweet and fun and kind of just gentle, a gentle soul, kind of like her parents, I think.
Tell me a favorite memory of me.
Of you?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, well, there were many, many favorite memories. But one of my favorite was when you wanted to go to the zoo over here in Richmond. And we went over and spent the whole day and took a picnic lunch. And you told me all about every animal, whether you knew them or not. You knew exactly what they did and where they were caged. And you knew everything. Still do.
Okay. What are you proudest of personally and professionally in your life?
Professionally, I'm proudest of my nursing degree, because I guess because Mom was a nurse, always wanted to be a nurse, even though she didn't practice because Dad wouldn't let her work. But I think my hospice nursing the last 20 years was my favorite thing.
And personally?
Personally, what I'm proudest of are my children, because they've done really well in life. And they've been true to themselves, and they've learned a lot and grown a lot, and they're just really wonderful.
What are you most grateful for?
Most grateful for the sun and the beach, and the fact that I can get up every day and still function and have a family that loves me, and I'm just so grateful for that.
Okay.
Is that it? Oh.
And what is it that you want to see me do in the future?
I'd like to see you open your eyes to the possibilities of life, period. Not just professionally, not just in school, but everything that life has to offer you. Because I think that's a learning experience all through life. It's not just at a specific time. And I think I just would want you to go be open to everything. Try everything. Don't miss anything. And don't get too old that you can't do it. You know, we took Mom skiing for the first time, in snow skiing in Colorado, when she was 73.
Wow.
I know. And Gary went in and found an old man, that older man than Mom, who was an instructor to teach her. So she felt like she had to do it. And she was so, that's the only time she did it, but she was so grateful that she tried it and she accomplished it and she was able to do it. And she thought that was amazing.
If you could give one piece of advice to your teenage self, what would it be?
To my teenage self?
Yes.
Not to try to be like my older sister, who I thought was perfect, and I thought I had to be perfect. My younger sister was just the opposite. She was a free spirit. But I didn't find out until my older sister was in college that she was more of a free spirit than my younger sister, probably. So trying to be like somebody else isn't always the best thing.
There's Bailey barking.
I know. My other child.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving memory?
Thanksgiving memory. They're harder than Christmases. Probably the fact that we went into my grandparents almost every Thanksgiving. We had almost every Thanksgiving in there. And Grandma was a superb cook. So everything that came out of that little tiny, tiny, tiny kitchen with no electric mixers or anything else was amazing. She'd have a half a dozen pies and homemade rolls and turkey and homemade ice cream, which I love.
What was your favorite Christmas memory?
Christmas memories were interesting because we didn't have much. The memory my parents gave me that was the most amazing is that they never decorated the tree until Christmas Eve. So when we got up Christmas morning, Dad would go downstairs and turn the tree lights on, and just seeing that beautiful tree down in the rec room, which had a ceiling that was like 20 feet high, so the trees were always huge. That was one of the greatest gifts we ever got.
That's cool. What's like the biggest thing in your life that you feel has taught you the biggest lesson?
Biggest thing in my life that's taught me the biggest lessons. I think that probably the divorce, because until then I was pretty manipulated by my husband. And so when we separated and I left him, I think probably learning that I could think on my own and had good judgment and could take care of myself was the biggest thing.
Where's the coolest place you've ever been?
The coolest place I've ever been is New Zealand.
Why?
I loved it. Well, we had a camper. It was another couple that went with us, and we went around the whole Southern Island. Took like 3 weeks and camped through the Southern Island. And it was it was like walking back in time. Mm-hmm. Like in this one B&B that we stayed, or hotel that we stayed in, they had a phonograph that worked from the 1940s. And this was 30 years later, so they had a lot of old things, antiques and stuff like that, which I really love. I think a lot of the older things are made better than the newer things. But the one thing we did, which was very exciting, which I'm still trying to see because we did a video, is we rented, this guy took us up in the single engine plane and flew us over, what are the snow banks called? The ice banks? Glaciers, up through the mountains and through the glaciers in the single engine plane. I was scared to death, but it was absolutely phenomenal. I like flying.
Yeah. Where's the best place you've been in the United States?
There's so many. I don't know that I have a best in the United States because there's too many. I love New England in the summer and early fall. Do not want to be there in the winter. I love Colorado in the winter. Gary and I used to go up to Evergreen, which is a pretty little town up in the mountains, and I love that. Jenny Lake was probably my favorite thing when I took the kids camping when they were babies, because we were supposed to stop there for one night and we ended up staying a week, and I love that. That was in the Tetons, so it was beautiful. Lots of places. There's so many places to see.
If you could choose one place to visit again anywhere, where would it be?
Hawaii. My 7 years in Hawaii were it was perfect.
And if you want to visit one place you've never been, where would it be? And why?
I'm kind of curious about Tuscany because I hear it's so beautiful.
Is Italy?
Italy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Northern Italy. So I probably would go there.
You know people who've gone there?
Oh yeah, everybody in my family but me. Except for Walt, who's never gone anyplace.
What's your favorite memory with your daughter?
Actually, my favorite memory with both of my kids was the summer I took them camping.
Camping?
I had a orange Volkswagen camper. Mom came out, Shelly came out. Jennifer turned 4 that summer. So that made Michael and Shelly 9. Mm-hmm. And we left. I was at Edwards Air Force Base in California. And we left the day after Michael got out of school. And we went up the West Coast, all the way up through Oregon, and touched in Washington, didn't do much up there, all the way across the northern U.S., where I dropped Mom off and Shelly in Detroit, because that's where Aunt Barbara was living. I came down the East Coast, and then I went all the way across the South Park back to California, and got there the day before Michael started school. Wow. And there were so many things. I mean, we tried to stop at everything. It was great.
What was your favorite place you stopped at on that trip?
There were a lot of them. Jenny Lake was probably my favorite. But then when I saw the Grand Canyons, it just took my breath away. Yeah. And it's hard to say you'd want to go back to someplace because there's so many places like that until you start really traveling and seeing. Even some little places, you don't understand how awesome this country is.
Yeah. Well, what's the funniest memory from that trip?
The funniest memory was this poor little Volkswagen camper. And it didn't have very much power. It's not like the cars today. And we were Blackstone or someplace. We were trying to go up this hill. And the car was going slower and slower and slower. And we had all the windows open because we didn't have air conditioning in it. And all of a sudden, Mom started screaming. She was in the front seat, and then the kids in the back were all screaming. And I guess while I was trying to coax this car up this hill, a bunch of bees came in the car. So we were all screaming. The car ended up going backwards. I had to go all the way down the hill, the mountain, because I couldn't get up and I couldn't stop. And we were all trying to chase the bees out of the car. It was just like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it was funny.
So what's your funniest memory ever?
Oh, I don't know, Chase. I mean, there's so many. Life is precious. And every moment is either funny, sad, or memorable, or in a number of ways. So I don't know, funniest, honestly, one of my funniest was what we were talking about the other night, when I would drive from North Carolina to Richmond, where you lived, and I would pull into the driveway, and there stuck in the window was your face and Hank's face right next to you watching for me to come. That was always a kick for me.
What was your favorite childhood pet?
Oh, we've always had dogs, but I had a friend that had horses. And so I would be allowed to go over to her stable and help her clean out, muck the stalls, mm-hmm. clean out the poop. And just touching a horse was wonderful. When my aunt and uncle owned or ran a school for retarded children, what we call retarded disabled children, up in Pennsylvania. And so Mom, having 4 kids, would shuffle us all out someplace for weeks at a time in the summer. And I always got shuffled to Aunt Louise's, because Aunt Louise was a nurse and she really wanted me to be a nurse, and Mom, you know, I mean, follow the league. So anyhow, I would go up there, and this boy, Clark Kent, believe it or not, was his name. He was adorable. He was like 17. I must have been 12. And he was instructed to teach me how to ride, which I'd always loved horses, but I hadn't ridden a whole lot. And so he got me up on this big, beautiful horse, and he said, just hold the reins like this. And this was one of the first times I'd been free on a horse, and the horse knew he was free. And he took off, crossed this field, jumped a fence, and I am hanging on and screaming for dear life. I mean, it was like scary and thrilling at the same time.
Have you ever had a near-death experience?
That one.
That was your near-death experience? Yeah. Any others?
Can't think of anything where I came tragically close to death that I knew that I was close to death, no.
So can you tell me about, like, your childhood best friend or, like, friends?
My best friends were really my sisters. We had a lot of kids in the neighborhood. When I was in high school, my best friend was Peggy. And I talked really funny when I was in high school growing up in my early teen years. And her dad would call me Parrot because they said I sounded like a parrot. I didn't realize that, but I guess I did. But yeah, we did. And I think I took you there once. After the football games, we all went to the charcoal pit. Remember me taking you mm-hmm. there? It was just like 2 blocks from my house. And we'd go to the charcoal pit, and they had the best hamburgers and cheesesteak sandwiches in the world and handmade milkshakes. Oh, they were so good. So we'd go there after the games. Everybody went. And that's where, you know, Andrew Wyeth. Mm-hmm. Do you know who he is? His grandson was about my age, and he would be there as well. And when we all sit at the same table, he would whittle, make drawing leaves on the napkin. And one day I said, "Why?" And I think his name was Andrew as well. "Why are you doing that?" And he said, "Because my grandfather said in order to draw a tree, you have to start with the leaves." And so he was commissioned to do nothing but leaves for a year. He drew leaves so that when he painted and drew the trees, they would be more realistic.
That's cool.
Yeah, he was a cool guy.
So, what was it like getting your degree in nursing?
Nursing was much harder than I thought it was gonna be. I got accepted to a school in Philadelphia, Women's Medical College. It was the last medical college for women in the U.S., the very last mm-hmm. one. Pretty soon after, about 15 years after I graduated, they became men and women. And the degree was hard because, first of all, we only had 1 week off a year. I never got 1 week out of the whole year. Mm-hmm. I never got Christmas week off till my senior year. So I was a little homesick. We would go to class all day from like 8 a.m. till 2 p.m. And then we'd have like a 2-hour break, and then we'd work in the hospital at night. So we were the menial workers in the hospital at night, bathing people, changing beds, cleaning mm-hmm. bedpans, because then they were metal and you had to take them and put them in a flusher mm-hmm. and then you had to put them in a sterilizer. And the syringes that you see now as a kid, you know, they're plastic and they give one shot and throw it away. They didn't then. They were glass. I actually have a glass one at home. And then we put them in these little metal containers. And then when we were finished with giving the medicine, we'd take them all apart, take the needle off and the syringe part, and sterilize everything. So we used them over and over. It's a wonder we didn't all die. Yeah. I don't know how germ-free it was then, but nursing was hard, and I was really grateful when I finished. And when I finished, because I got part of my tuition was a scholarship, mm-hmm. and so I had to work at, I mean, I got paid, but I had to work at the hospital for 1 year after I graduated. So when we all graduated, there were 6 of us. And we went down and we lived in a not great part of town in this apartment. So there were 2 bedrooms, a living room, and a kitchen. So there were 3 of us in each bedroom in single beds. And we all took turns cooking. And that's how we learned to cook different things, because one person was really good at spaghetti, one person was really good at something else. And so we all took turns, but we learned to cook from each other. That was a fun year. That was a really fun year. I like that.
So what is your favorite part about nursing?
And it's the reason that I didn't really push to get more degrees to teach or something like that. My favorite part was taking care of people, touching people. I mean, physically taking care of people. Because people are so deep that if you take the time, you find things like when I was doing hospice nursing, I had a couple patients that had been in World War One. And they told me things that the family said that they had never even heard. And so it was interesting because life's really complicated, but it takes a lot to get you from point A as a baby to point B at a deathbed. And there's a lot in there, but not everybody shares those stories.
Yeah.
But I love just the patient care, just physically being with the patients.
So you think they, like, told their stories to you because they just knew they were going to die, so they just
I think they were finally able, feeling like they were able to release the stories, because they weren't great stories. They were tragic and horrible, and war was not anything fabulous. So I think they were hard stories to tell, and for them it was still an emotional thing, but it was like emotionally unburdening themselves. I had this one patient that I remember, can I do this?
Yeah.
Oh, that I remember really well. And he was a full-blooded Indian, American Indian. And he was probably in his 90s. His family was phenomenal. I mean, they all were there. Everybody was taking care of him. Everybody did everything with him. But one day I went in to just check on him. He was doing okay. And he said, oh, you should have been here last night. And I said, why? And he said, because they all came. And I said, who all came? I can't remember his name now. I said, who all came? He said, the Indians came. The Indian spirits came last night and surrounded my bed and told me it wouldn't be long and that I'd be joining them. And it was like, you know, I mean, I could, him telling the story, I could almost envision these ancestral Indians surrounding him. And he had, as a child with his parents, had given up rights to the reservation. But as an adult, he went back and asked for his rights back. So it was kind of a emotionally thrilling story, but it also, as many other stories have, made me understand there is definitely something beyond here. And I think our spirits live in a lot of different ways. I know that many people have seen things or felt things or verbalized things that I don't think that they would have if they weren't on the edge of death.
Yeah.
But he was really cool.
So, teaching sailing, what was your favorite part about that?
Okay, when I was in Hawaii, my favorite part was in Hawaii. But when I was in Hawaii, and it was at the Air Force Base that they had these little 14-foot dinghies, and I had to take the classes just like what I ended up teaching. And it was wonderful. Sailing is like being free. There's no motors. You learn to do it totally with the wind and the sails. And I loved it. And I actually think I had a knack for it. I mean, it's a touch thing. It's not like grabbing a steering wheel. It's like touching, and you can feel it vibrating through the boat. Teaching wasn't as much fun as racing. The racing part, I mean, I like teaching, and I like to be able to get somebody from point A to point B and know that they're safe and that they've done everything that they should. But racing was phenomenal. And then when I went to California, you know, I flew the, what were they called? the planes
biplanes?
In it. No, they were gliders, the planes that you'd be hooked onto another plane. They take you up, and then they snap you free, and you just glide, no engines, through the air. And that's kind of what sailing was. You learn to pick up the lifts, to get closer to the wind, and that's kind of what gliding was like. So I liked that too, but I didn't do that as long.
What was it like being married to someone who was in the military?
There's good things and bad things. Mm-hmm. The bad things were that he was gone a lot, and so you have to assume all the responsibility of the household mm-hmm. when they're gone. And when they come back, he wanted to take control of the household again. So it was like giving and taking, huh?
It's an adjustment each time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. each time. So I think that was the hardest, being left a lot. I feel for military families, because it's especially if they're sent into war, because mm-hmm. it you never know if that next call is going to come through, if you don't hear from them when you think you should hear from them. Back then, there were no cell phones.
Right.
You know, so we would set up a time like 2 o'clock in the morning, because he was in Taiwan. I'd set up a time that was conducive for him to call me in the middle of the night at my mom's house. That was tough. I mean, that was tough. We'd only been married a little over a year when he left. Mm-hmm. The great thing about the military is the traveling and the experience of meeting so many people in so many places, and being able just to go. I mean, it's phenomenal. What other job, mostly back then, there weren't many, that you could travel the world?
Yeah.
Literally.
So which places, like, name all the places you went in the time he was in the military.
We went, when we were in, let's see, I was in Philadelphia going to school, and then I went to New Jersey, mm-hmm. and we got married after that summer, and then we went to Oklahoma, and then we went to Tennessee, and then I went back to Delaware because he went to Taiwan, and then I was in California for a while. And then I flew to Taiwan. On one trip from Taiwan, we went to Japan, went to Tokyo, and spent a few days there. I stopped in Guam. Don't ever go to Guam. It's like hot. And then I lived in Taiwan while I was there. We did a boat tour over to Hong Kong and Shanghai. Shanghai back then was so amazing. Hong Kong was kind of like a New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was glitzy and lots of big buildings and beautiful. Shanghai was just the opposite. People were living, they had stacked up, quote unquote, houses, but the houses were like as big as that table.
Honestly. That's so small.
And they'd have them stacked on top of each other, and that's where people were sleeping and living.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was awful. It was awful. It was like seeing a bunch of little ants going in their little holes. Yeah. So and I went to the Philippines and Thailand while I was over there. Mm-hmm. And then when we came back and were in Hawaii, then we went to New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And that was one.
Yeah,
that was fun.
And what is your favorite memory with Gary?
Oh, my favorite memory with Gary is so easy. In 1985, I think, is when the Statue of Liberty had her 200-year dedication. Would that be right, or 150?
What year?
85. Anyhow, that was when they were having this. So the Boceans were owners of Watergate, which was where we had our business. Mm-hmm. We had a charter business. At the time, we had a charter business, and we owned the fuel dock in Seabrook. So they were bringing their Dutch Botterboat, which is Dutch bottom boats are flat bottom boats that they use in the canals in Holland and all over Europe to haul coal or whatever they were hauling. Well, they had this Dutch bottom boat that they totally renovated. They had, I think it was 20 different kinds of wood in that boat. They had, the doors were made, the doors were stained glass. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll have to see if I can find some pictures because it was beautiful. So the Boschans brought their boat over, said it was in impeccable condition. They put it inside another boat where you float boats in and you line them up and this big ship brings them all across the ocean. So they asked Gary if he would captain the boat so that they could do all their social things and let him in, do all their social things and didn't have to worry about it. And so Gary said, sure. And they said, well, bring Sam, you know, and bring your kids. We'll pay for everything. And then when we're finished, you can bring the boat back to Houston. The boat was 75 feet long. It had it had two masts, but so you had to have the mast up to have the sails out. But in order to get under bridges, you had to put the mast down. The masts were on the same winch as the anchor. So you couldn't anchor and have the mast down at the same time. Mm-hmm. Very complicated. Anyhow, the boat was beautiful. We were in a slip at the bottom of the Twin Towers. The fireworks were phenomenal. I've never ever, because they were all up and down the river. I mean, they would just make your chest. So we had Jen and Michael and Mom came up. And then Gary and I brought the boat back with the kids for a while. And then Michael got off because he got picked for the Olympic band. He was in that locally. So he came back for a while, but your mom's had to stay with us because she was young. Poor mom. But just that trip. And Gary said, oh, it will take us 2 weeks. 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's such a long time.
Well, they said that the boat was prime. The mechanics said it was perfect. But all they did was really paint the engine. The boat broke down almost every day. And a lot of, because of the engine was made in England, we had to wait for parts to come from England. So we went to all kinds of really wonderful places and stayed for days. We went to the Hilton Head and stayed in their little circular marina, and we said we really needed to flush out the water tanks. Well, that took a whole day. Mm-hmm. So 3 days there. But the Boschans did. They paid for everything. It was great.
What would you say, like, your, like, the biggest event, whether it's, like, world or national, that happened, like, in your lifetime that was, like, a shock?
9/11. There wasn't any question. There were a lot of tragic things that happened. Two things. One, Kennedy being shot. I was in high school, and that was, I mean, nobody believed that. Mm-hmm. That was a shock. And then 9/11, and I was home. I just turned the TV on before the plane went into Second Tower.
Wow.
And I mean, I was...
Where were you living then?
I was living in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it was, I mean, it made me sad to think that somebody would be that cruel to do something that wicked. Mm-hmm. And it still makes me sad to see him doing it to this day.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
You are welcome. It was fun. Thanks.
Okay.
Now I can be Bailey.